Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Today on this Encore show, Darren and I talk about the things that make the enemy flee. You can know with absolute assurance that as a believer, you are not defenseless against the devil. The schemes of the enemy are cast down and destroyed by the blood of Jesus and his powerful name. When you speak the word, amazing things happen in the spirit world. We discuss the power that is in 2 Corinthians 10:5, as well as the undeniable truths in Psalm 141. Praising the Lord makes the enemy flee, and those chains that seem to bind you fall powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. Psalm 22:3 tells a believer that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now let's join the program.
You know, Barb, I am excited about this part of Scripture here because we're not defenseless as Christians. And I saw a lot of people when I was growing up, they stood around, wrung their hands, and quietly complained. That's if they were a saint.
Yeah, if they weren't, then they were always talking about their troubles.
Really spewing off, but folks, I want to tell you, you don't have to stand there and take it. You are not without defense. Yeah. And I'll tell you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is a great defense.
That's right. Can I say welcome to Darren Live today?
Well, you can if you wish.
Yes.
I'd rather say that at the end of the show, but it's all right.
And if you liked this show, and so many of you comment on, you know, Darren and Barbara, we know you're not perfect, but we know you love the Lord. And wow, that's so edifying. Thank you so much. We want to be known for that. We don't know everything, but we pray that we will show you in some way that we love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart. And if you'd like to have a magazine, we've got a magazine out for June that has a wonderful, peaceful pasture with horses. I love this cover. It reminds me of my summers on the farm. And if you would like a magazine, just call us at 1-866-917-7256. And that's toll free for all of you in Kansas and Wyoming that would like a magazine in New Mexico or Oklahoma or Oregon, Vancouver, wherever, Troutdale, wherever you are. If you'd like a magazine, just call us at 1-866-917-7256. Leave us your name and address, and we'll send you out a magazine.
Or if you're in Carr, Colorado, or Timnath, Colorado, you know, Pete's, or one of those major metropolitan areas, and probably have 14 people in. And I'm kidding you a little bit here, but we would like to send you a magazine. And this next month, I wrote an article kind of revealing about myself.
Yes, you did.
But you'll find it under Darren's Coffee Break. I'm not going to give you all the details, but when you read that, you'll say, oh, my goodness, if I'd had a kid like that, I would have killed him. And my mother tried.
Oh, no. Your mother loved you. Yes, she did.
Well Darren, now let me defend myself a little bit. There were times when I was in great pain.
Well, I know you were, but that was for your good.
And it was afflicted by my mother. And if she couldn't get the job done, my dad took over. Anyway,
well,
there's an article there you might enjoy.
Yes, and I agree with you, Darren. So many people are afraid of the devil when we need not be. And I remember one time a huge dog, neighbor dog, got out of the fence, and I was walking Brandy, our little Lhasa. This is only 20 pounds. And this dog comes charging up, and I just hold up my hand, and in the name of Jesus, I tell you, stop. And he just skidded on his back legs and stopped. And I believe we can do that with the enemy, with the devil himself, in the name of Jesus.
Did the dog want to eat you or your dog?
Probably my dog.
Is he okay?
So I scooped Randy up in my arms, and we were both standing there. My heart was beating, but I'll tell you what, the devil can be forced to leave.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know, Satan can work through animals, vicious animals, and might not be a dog, might be a cat. It could be whatever it is, or it could, Satan can work through people. But I think what you did is admirable. You put your hand up and you used the best defense and the only defense that you had on that street sidewalk, you know.
And I couldn't have run. I had Brandy. I was holding Brandy. Can you see how I could have run away from this fast? It was like a Doberman or a, you know, one of those big ones, big dogs. So
now you see, from my years of delivering newspapers, I would have turned around and acted like I was picking up a rock.
Oh, well.
In fact, I was taking my walk here about a year ago, and a dog barked behind me, great big dog, scared me. I turned around, and instinctively, I went for the ground, and that dog turned around, took off. Now, that's
know.
The way I handle the dog. I don't happen to be afraid of dogs, but that time he caught me unawares and scared me real good.
Well, they know rock throwing, don't they?
They seem to know that rock throwing business. But anyway, we are not without defense, and that's what we want to tell you about it today. So since we haven't welcomed you appropriately, I am Darren. This is my wife, Barbara. We do the show every day, and we're interested in Christians winning. We are Christians. We want to win. Mm-hmm. We're very into winning. I tell you, I've done my share of losing. I don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the more scripture I know, the more confident I feel in my walk with the Lord. And it does take time. It's not easy. It's a hard thing to fight the flesh. That's going to be your biggest enemy is your own flesh. Mm-hmm. And your biggest enemy is your mouth. So you can preserve your life with your mouth by saying good things, or you can curse your life and your opportunities.
That's right. When we talked about 2 Corinthians 10:5 yesterday, Darren, that verse says, casting down every vain imagination. Well, how do we cast down? Not with baseball bats and not with guns. We cast down with words in our mouth, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. You're always, when you confront the devil, you're confronting him with the name, the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and also the blood. The blood, the devil hates the blood of Jesus because that reminds him of the victory that Jesus had at the cross. Now, Satan thought that Jesus was defeated, but he rose on the third day, hallelujah. So Satan knows that he's been defeated. So when you use the blood of Jesus against him, the name of Jesus against him, he must go.
Now, folks, I want to tell you, if there's a so-called church without a cross somewhere, what they're saying is we don't believe in the efficacy or the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're in a church where they think they're so cool, they've taken all the hymns out of the hymnal that refer to the blood of Jesus, you're in the wrong place. Now, when you understand the power in the name of Jesus, then you will be like this person here in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mm. You are using the power God had given you in the name of Jesus with your mouth. I congratulate you, Barb. I think that's an awesome story and illustration. All right, back to prayer. Father, thank you for today. And thank you for our dear friends and our power partners and the people that pray for us and stand with us. Even sometimes, Father God, when our humanity is so icky and we are so human, and yet our people love us and they support us and they pray for us and they keep us going here. Thank you for our dear friends. And Jesus, I want to thank you for sending Holy Spirit. And Father, I want to thank you for sending Jesus. I mean, we couldn't do without Jesus and Holy Spirit. But you and your kindness, and you knew that we were going to sin even before we sinned. And the Word says you even know what we're going to say before we say it. And we're so weak, and we're so vulnerable. Are we ever vulnerable? And without Jesus, we're done for. So thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus that we can use to fight battles here and win. We want to be winners. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen, amen.
Now, we know when we read Psalm 141 the other day, Darren, that in praising the Lord, we actually give offerings to the Lord, and that praising the Lord can make that enemy flee also.
Exactly.
And I remember a song written by, not written by, but sung by the Imperials. And this goes back a long way, friends. But there's a line in that song. It's called Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. And there's one phrase, the chains that seem to bind you fall powerless behind you when you praise him. So any chains, whether that chains your own flesh, you know, if you're battling alcoholism today, or you're battling some horrible habits, those habits fall powerless behind you when you begin to praise God and assert that Jesus is Lord over your life. And you put those behind you. Those chains fall off behind you when you praise him.
You know what I'm going to recommend is, we have quite a few listeners that want to quit smoking. And we hear about that from time to time in their letters, or they talk to us personally. If I were you, I'd put a great big rubber band around that pack of cigarettes. Make it hard for you to get in there so you don't just reach in your pocket or yes. your purse and just, you know, you've been doing it so long, you flip it out there, and before you know it, you got it in your mouth. Why don't you make it a little difficult? And then that will cause you to stop and say, what's this? Oh, I know I put that rubber band on there to remind me mm-hmm. to ask the name of Jesus, to ask Jesus to help me break this habit. You know, he can do that. Now, I'll tell you a little corny thing that I've done in the past. When I wanted to remember to pray, or I wanted, you know, because I came out of a habit pattern of not thinking about the Lord, and I shared that a couple of days ago, but I would take a Band-Aid, and I'd Band-Aid two fingers together. And every time it was awkward for me, I'd say, oh, that reminds me to pray.
Yes.
Or that. Now, I'm not saying I'm super holy, smoly some guy. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, yet thou art holy, and you're enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
You inhabit the praises, right. Yes.
So if I stop and I say that, I praise the Lord, it says right here, O thou art holy who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Yes.
Some translations say inhabit the praises. Mm-hmm. But you know, God can be right there with me, helping me develop a new habit pattern.
Yes, praise God.
And you know, smoking is a habit. And I'll tell you, it's harder to break from talking to smokers. It's harder to break that habit than a drug habit.
Yes,
and
but
I'm telling
you
how you can do it.
We have seen many people quit smoking.
That's right.
And one thing about it is that the cigarette becomes your familiar companion. And if you confess cigarettes, you are no longer my familiar friend. I cut you off and I bind you away from me. You are no longer a part of my identity. And Darren, as we say that, that becomes less and less of a friend. Because I know some people, their cigarettes are their friends.
Right.
They wake up with them in the morning and they go to bed at night with
them.
And
it's their identity.
Yes, it is.
And I would say this, you know, they're nicotine patches. It's supposedly you can put on your arm and it puts a little drip of nicotine in you and you're supposed to be able to get off it an easy way. I just thought of this. You know, when I band-aided my fingers together, maybe that was my patch.
Well, maybe that was.
I was looking for an escape. I mean, I really wanted to do it, but I had such horrible entrenched habit patterns of not thinking about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Think about everything else under the sun, and I wanted to break that and develop a new habit pattern. That's one way you can do it.
That's right. Well, here in Ephesians, we're going to go to Ephesians 6 after talking about 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down every vain imagination and every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to know that, and we need to practice that daily, that to have the mind of Christ. But in Ephesians 6, Darren, Paul really gets down and detailed about coming against the enemy, and I believe that's so important. And he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, he's telling us right here we can stand against the schemes of the devil, and we have to put the whole armor of God on. He also tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So there are so many scriptures that say he will keep us from the evil one. And we do not have to live with the enemy always crouching and attacking us. Darren, we don't have to live that way.
Well, you know, the struggle, Barbara, really is in Romans 12 too. It says you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Mm-hmm. See, in our culture, if a kid, for example, is watching cartoons all the time and only toys he have are monster toys, and, you know, I can just go on and on, what that parent or that person that's in charge of that child is doing is they're developing a habit pattern of, well, I think monsters, I think dinosaurs, I think all this stuff, I think those funny cartoons, and they make me laugh because my parents plop me down in front of that television set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you, folks, I want to suggest something else. Why don't we help that child develop a habit pattern and a propensity for the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Take some simple scriptures and teach them, for example, the 23rd Psalm. They should not get out of your house without knowing the 23rd Psalm. And your children also should not get out of your house without knowing how to repent, because they're going to mess up. I mean, that's our flesh. Their flesh is strong. Mine was, yours is. So I would say this to you. Maybe you got turned on to the Word message and your kids are teenagers. And that happened to me, by the way. But you know, when my kids left my house, and in a legal sense, they are emancipated, they've been set free from my covering, They went out knowing how to repent. And they all made mistakes, like I made mistakes. So in other words, we're not perfect, but what do we do with that flesh? Well, we've got to know how to get back in the good graces of the Lord. And so he teaches them, 1 John 1:9, if you sin, you repent, and he is faithful to forgive you.
Yes.
But don't live with unforgiveness and unforgiven sins in your life. Now, I think that is so important. And maybe the kid is telling you, look, Mom, I'm not religious like you are. You can stuff that in your ear. One of the last things you need to say to him, listen, son, listen, daughter, when you get your tail in a crack, you're going to need to know how to come back to Jesus and hear how you do it. If the last words they hear you say is, here's how you get back to God, that's one of the best things you can say, and not 47 I love yous that they're not going to listen to anyway.
Yes. Well, getting back to Ephesians 6, I'd like to talk about the schemes of the devil. We read Ephesians 6:11 about putting on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, schemes to you may think that he's plotting and planning a whole bunch of detours for you in the physical, which he may be. But this word schemes, Darren, means lies, false, artificial lies. And so many people believe lies. They believe, well, tomorrow's going to be worse than today. I'm going to die and never see a success. Some of these lies people have lived with for years, and they are lies from the devil. He says, Paul goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, yesterday you read 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it was 3, that says, we do not war against the flesh, but we war in the spirit. What is that specifically?
In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we're here in this fleshly body.
Yes.
We do not war in the flesh or according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, see, the warfare is not flesh against flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's spirit against spirit.
That's
true. My spirit against the devil.
Yes, that's right.
So we're, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. In other words, I don't have a big sword, and I don't have a big gun, and I don't have a big club to fight this battle. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. These fortresses that come against us really are coming against our fleshly desires to eat too much, to drink the wrong things, to do the wrong things, to give in to those passions of the flesh. And it's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle. And all of us have won and lost some of those battles.
Oh, we have.
But it goes on to say, and see, the devil's going to mess with your head. And here it is. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. See, in other words, we know that we shouldn't commit sexual sin, but the devil is there tempting, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's why we push the scripture cards. We call them a power pack, and that's why we push the Word of God all the time, because if we can get the Word of God in your heart, or if you will put it in your heart, then you have a fighting chance against these speculations. And let me say it this way. Some of you have horrible flashbacks. Maybe it was something done to you or something you did to someone else or something you participated in, and the devil comes up and says, look, you can't deny you used to do this. What do you think you are? You're going around like some saint of God, but you know you're really a pretty squirrely person. You have to admit, yes, you did this. You have to admit that. And the devil's going to try to bring those flashbacks. To me, those are speculations. Those are lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. See, if you're trying to live a pure life, the devil's going to try to wrestle you down to the ground, so to speak, and get you to say, yeah, I really am unworthy. And he's going to try to shame you into feeling unworthy and inferior and, like you're a piece of junk. And you're not. You're redeemed by Jesus.
That's right. We still get calls, Darren, from people. I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I'm still a sinner. You know, and you're going, you can't be both. I mean, of course we sin. After we're born again, yes, we sin. But God no longer labels us a sinner. We're no longer labeled that. So I want you to get that out of your vocabulary right now today. If you're born again and you know Jesus is your Savior, you're no longer labeled a sinner by our Father God.
Okay, let me say it this way. You were a sinner, but
yes.
You were saved by grace.
Absolutely.
Now you're saved.
Praise God.
You're not a sinner anymore, saved by grace. You're one or the other.
That's right.
You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. I choose to believe I'm saved by grace.
Well, and I'll tell you, the next article in the July issue of the magazine, You Don't Borrow What You Own, by you, Darren, is a remarkable article, and I hope those of you who get the magazine will read the next article in the July issue. That's going to make you feel so good in the Lord. You're going to feel pumped up. Here we
you know
see,
why
though.
I like that teaching? I've been there.
I know. We all have.
I tell you, I had to fight my way out of the pit, and I said, I'm tired of thinking like I used to think and having the devil get one up on me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The Word of God changed my habit patterns of thought. Mm-hmm. So I don't wake up automatically feeling like a bunch of trash.
Mm-hmm.
I wake
right.
up praising the Lord, and then it's easy to get into the Word and stay up with my daily Bible reading.
Yes.
Folks, if you're not reading through the Word with us, I feel sorry for you.
Well, it's their fault because they can do it.
Come on.
And you can, and you know, if you say, well, I don't read very well, you read slowly and you get a large print or you get a Living Translation. Those are so good to read.
Or
and
read it out loud.
You read it out loud.
Yourself.
That's right. And I hope this summer, just the other day, Darren, I saw house payment on the calendar. You know, I write IRS estimate on the 14th and I write house payment and vehicle payment and those kind of things on the calendar so I remember them because I'm keeping three different books. And
you're cooking the books. Huh?
I'm cooking the books, no, for three different individuals anyway, for three different companies. So here were, when I saw house payment, right underneath there was joy. I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, that you let me write joy on that day.
Now, are you telling these people you're naming your future days?
I'm naming my future days.
Does that work?
It works because I didn't, you know, usually when I have to write a check for a payment of some kind, I don't feel the very best, especially when it's, you know, into the thousands.
Well, I know you're tight and you're stingy.
I know.
That's not a joyful
event. But when
event.
I see, and see, I name my days, when I turn that calendar, I take my little felt marker and I name my days, and I do it in either green or red, something that I can see.
How far ahead do you go?
In the office, I do it 3 months ahead. At home, I do it a month ahead. And so I've got those words written out. So when I turn the calendar, there it is. Joy, peace, prosperity, riches.
Do you have
wealth.
Anything written on it? Like I'm going to do a better job of loving my husband?
Well, love is there. I write love down. I wrote love for our anniversary. Yes, I did.
You know, folks, we have a tape series on this. And this revelation the Lord gave me, he said to me very simply, let's take, this is Friday. Let's suppose that next Friday we have on our calendar prosperity.
Yes.
And the next Friday after that, we have joy. Mm-hmm. And the next Friday after that, we have
wisdom.
Overcoming peace or wisdom.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Now, when you name those days ahead of time, you can walk into those things that you put on those days because your words are powerful, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do like my dad used to do, and because he didn't have the teaching, he would say, well, son, we just have to wait to see what the day brings.
Now, if you believe Proverbs about the life being in the power of the
right,
tongue, life
right.
and death in the
exactly.
power of the tongue. It's your tongue speaking where it's
right.
either life or it's death.
You know what you're really doing? You're saying, and I heard this in a sales seminar one time, it says, you know what you're doing when you do what my dad just did there?
Mm-hmm.
You're driving down the road, headlights off, you're looking in the rear vision mirror, and you're driving by your taillights. Well, everybody knows that's kind of a dumb way to do it, but you know, if you say, well, we just have to wait to see. In other words, we're outer controlled when we do that. Well,
yes.
Say, wait till see what the day
something,
brings.
Something on the outside happens.
Why don't we take control of our days and name them? This is a day of prosperity.
Absolutely.
I named it 2 weeks ago. I'm walking into prosperity today.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Thank
praise
you, Jesus.
God. Thank you for that revelation. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here we see in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Now, Paul admits here that the devil is in control. He is the prince of the power of this air that we breathe right now because he's been given it legally by us. Yeah, Adam sinned and gave this world to the devil. Now, legally, Jesus has taken it back, and we need to take it back vitally through the words of our mouth and the armor that is on us. How much more time do we have?
We have 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
What you're talking about here is enforcing the victory that Jesus won for us.
Yes, yes.
Now, what you do when you enforce that, you say, devil, you're not welcome in this house. You're an illegal intruder. Now, get out.
Yes.
And stay away from me and my kids and my car and my business and my house and my appliances.
Praise the Lord.
Appliances.
Appliances, yeah.
Stay away from that dishwasher. It doesn't need to break down.
That's right.
And your clothes dryer and whatever. And folks, I'm going to tell you, when you take authority and you say, listen, devil, you're not going to run this house anymore. Now get out of here in the name of Jesus. I bind you out of here. That's Matthew 16:19, one of the keys of the kingdom of God. And you have the right and the responsibility to get up and use your mouth to bind the devil and throw him out.
Now, some of you are saying, you guys are crazy. He doesn't want us to talk about our appliances and our clothes. Oh, yes, he does.
Oh,
go
really?
Back to Exodus when they were crossing the desert in the wilderness, the children of Israel. Their clothes did not wear out and their sandals did not wear out. Is God interested in those little small details? Absolutely he is. And Darren, he is the same today as he was back then, and he is interested in the clothes we wear and in the food we eat and what covers us.
And use deodorant.
Well,
now, in other words, it's some things you have to do for yourself.
I was just getting to a climactic point.
No, you were. But you know something, folks? See, we have so much power in our mouth.
Oh, praise God.
If you don't like what you have going on in your life right now, change your words. Because what you say in Mark 11:23 is right on. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you received them. That's 24. And they shall be granted unto you. But Mark 11:23 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, in other words, this obstacle, be taken up, cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall happen. That's
praise
what it says.
God.
So if you don't like what's happening, change your words, because what you say is going to come to pass, good or bad.
That's right. And I really desire and encourage you, we don't have time to talk about the rest of Ephesians 6, but read that from the 13th down through the 20th verse about girding yourself with truth and breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of Holy Spirit that's going to help you fight this and win this war against the enemy. We are in a battle, Darren, but we have already known the victory through Jesus Christ.
Now, see, the difference here in taking charge in your space is make the victory and not just legal. See, legally you have the victory, but you need to vitally get up and enforce that so that you can live in peace and prosperity and success and all of those good things.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.